Sherman's Church is dismissed this morning, K through 6. And we will have Children's Church every Sunday until we have the program, the Nativity. So y'all can count on Children's Church every week until we have the Nativity. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Heavenly Father, Lord, we thank you for your word. Thank you for who you are. Thank you, Lord, that we can count on you, that you are faithful. Lord, thank you that you understand us because you created us. You know what's in the depths of our heart, Lord, and by your grace and mercy, you've still lavished your love on us in forgiveness and salvation. Lord, be with us this morning as we listen, as we discern what your word is saying this morning. I pray that we would not stand in the way, that we would allow you to have your way in our lives this morning, that we would be in awe and reverence of you, Lord, and we would respond, Lord, with obedience. We pray this in your mighty name, Lord Jesus. Amen. Last week, we focused on being fully committed to God and His Word, setting our minds on the things of God rather than the things of man. Living our Christian lives based on God's terms that we find in His Word rather than our own terms that are driven by our own desires. This is so important. It's such an issue in our world today. Such a problem that we deal with. Being fully committed to following Jesus no matter what we face in this world. We learn that one of the visible effects of this invisible warfare is the influence of Satan in our lives to keep our minds focused on the things of man. He uses the world around us to keep our focus on the things of this world so that it would distract us from wholeheartedly following after God. Satan loves it when we make up our own terms for following Jesus. He loves that. That's the philosophy and way of this world. It's your way. You do what you want. He wants us to think that we can follow Jesus and still be in control of our lives, that we can still call the shots, that we can do what we want or what we think is right, even though it doesn't line up with God's Word. We don't have the right to follow Jesus on our own terms. Now, by God's grace through faith in Christ, we have power to overcome this temptation. We have the power to be fully committed to God and His Word. We need to be watchful, though. As he said, we need to be careful. We need to be mindful of our own lives and the enemy's deception. We need to remember that this is not a battle of flesh and blood. This is a spiritual battle fought with our spiritual weapons that we have in Christ. Today, we're going to look at one of our spiritual weapons, one of the most powerful weapons that God has given us, and that's prayer. Spending 10 years of my life ministering in another country, in another culture, it changed my understanding about prayer. Being faced with constant adversity changed my practice of prayer. The influence of my brothers and sisters among the nations or those I ministered to changed my convictions about prayer. See, compared to many of our international brothers and sisters, we greatly, as Americans, we greatly underestimate the power of prayer. If we are not characterized as a people of prayer, how will we push back the darkness that lies over this community? How will we fight the spiritual battles that are there for the souls of men, women, and children in our community? Being fully committed to God, as we talked about last week, being fully committed to His Word is about becoming a people of prayer. We will become a people of prayer. That's God's heart. It's His desire. It's His way. We're going to be in Ephesians chapter 6. You can turn to Ephesians chapter 6. And in this passage in Ephesians, we're reminded of this spiritual battle. He reminds us it's not about flesh and blood. It's a spiritual battle. And in this passage, he gives us spiritual armor to stand strong against the enemy. In Christ, meaning as a child of God, you've been given what you need to not only stand strong against the enemy, or against all the power of the enemy, but to fight back with the weapons of warfare that he has given us. He's given us some very important weapons. He's given us his word. He calls the sword of the Spirit, the weapon that Jesus used when he was tempted by the enemy. Why it's so important for us to be committed to his word. Because we need to know it. It's a powerful weapon that we have. But today we're going to focus on the powerful weapon of prayer. We'll look at Ephesians chapter 6, 18 through 20. And the first thing we're going to learn here is to stand strong in constant Spirit-led prayer. We want to stand strong in constant Spirit-led prayer. Let's look there at verses 18 through 20. Praying at all times in the Spirit, with all prayer and supplication. To that end, keep alert with all perseverance, making supplications for all the saints. And also for me, that the words may be given to me in opening my mouth boldly to proclaim the mystery of the gospel, for which I am an ambassador in chains, that I may declare boldly as I ought to speak. Prayer is the key to all of this working. It is the energy and power of prayer that enables the Christian to wear the armor and wield the sword. It's what keeps us alert and ready and prepared. We have no power in ourselves to defeat the enemy. It all comes from God. We must always remember that. There's a story in Exodus 17 when Joshua was fighting against his enemy, Amalek. And in this battle, as long as Moses prayed to the Lord, Joshua had the victory over the enemy. As long as he prayed to the Lord, there was victory over the enemy. Prayer is very powerful. And here Paul is giving us instruction on how we should pray in order to stand strong and defeat the enemy. First, he says here, pray at all times. It's a very familiar thing. Pray at all times. Sounds very familiar because in 1 Thessalonians 5:17, we are told to pray without ceasing. And so if we are praying at all times, in other words, praying without ceasing, that means that we are always in communion with God. Constant communication with Him. It's like never hanging up the phone. It's like being on Facebook Live all day long. This kind of prayer reveals that we are totally, and I mean totally, dependent on Him. That we need His direction, that we need His wisdom and advice in every single decision that needs to be made, that we need His power with every single response to our many unforeseen circumstances. Do you keep an open line with God? How often do you commune with Him? How often do you speak to Him throughout the day? Who or what do you seek first in times of need or even in times of plenty? Do you run everything by God, asking for His wisdom and His direction? What's our prayer life like? Do we take advantage of this constant communion that we can have with God, the Creator of all things, all-powerful, all-knowing Creator God, the one who created us, the one who saved us, the one who can sustain us? How often do we seek His direction and wisdom? Now, because of our sinful nature, we're always prone to the attacks and temptations of Satan. Therefore, we must always stay in close communion with God, because we need His protection, we need His power, we need His wisdom. We need Him for everything in our lives. There's nothing that we don't need God for. He also says here, pray in the Spirit. The Bible shows us how to pray. We pray to the Father, our Father who art in heaven. Right? We pray to our Father through the Son in the power of the Spirit. God has given us access to Him through faith in Christ, through the power of God, the Holy Spirit that lives in us. And the Spirit helps us know what to pray. He helps us know how to pray according to God's will. You see, the opposite of praying in the Spirit would be praying according to our flesh. The opposite of praying in the Spirit would be praying according to our own desires and our own wants, our own terms, what we think we need, what we think is best, from our own perspective. See, that's the opposite of praying in the Spirit. 1 John chapter 5, 14 and 15 states this. This is the confidence that we have toward Him, that if we ask If we ask anything according to His will, He hears us. And if we know that He hears us in whatever we ask, we know that we have the request that we have asked of Him. So according to these verses, our desire then should be to pray according to God's will. But if we were to look in Romans 8, 26 and 27, it says that only in the Spirit's power can we pray the will of God. That's the only way that we can pray the will of God. The Spirit reveals to us through His Word what His will is. If we're not driven by the Spirit's power in our prayers, our prayers will be selfish. They will not line up with God's will or God's Word or anything here in His Word. See, you know, it's possible that we can pray fervently in the flesh and never get through to God. It's also possible that we can pray quietly in the Spirit and see the mighty working hand of God do miraculous things. In Spirit-led prayer, we have power, the power needed to stand strong against the enemy and at the same time pursue God's mission. The problem is this. If we don't daily surrender to the leading of the Holy Spirit in our lives, then most likely our prayers will be self-focused and not done in the power of the Spirit. In order to pray in the Spirit according to God's will, He, God, must have control of our lives. There has to be a surrendering. That's why it's daily. That's why we daily need to abide. Because every day we wake up, the self, our selfish nature, wants to be in control. Sometimes we don't want to get up because our selfish nature is in control. We'd rather just stay in bed. We'd rather be busy. There's so many things. So it has to be a dying of self, a giving, a surrendering of ourself to the Lord, letting Him be in control. It reminds us of how important it is that we are fully committed to God and His Word, that we're living our lives according to God's terms, not ours. He then says, as we continue to pray in the Spirit, we pray with all prayer and supplication, and to that end, keep alert with all perseverance. There are many kinds of prayers that we can bring before God. So many different types of prayer. Prayer is just not about praying for our own needs. We pray prayers of praise. When we start to recognize, as you learned in Sunday school this morning, if you start to recognize all that God is, in His attributes, in His glory, in all that He's done, and you start to think about that, you start to recognize who God is, the God that is your Father who serves you, I mean, that you serve, and then the overflow of that is worship. And so we have prayers of praise. There are also prayers of lament, where things are so hard and we don't understand how God wants to use this trial that we're in for our benefit or for His good. And so there's prayers of lament. We see that in the Bible. There are prayers of thanksgiving, when we have the right understanding of what God has done in extending His mercy toward us. There's prayers of thanksgiving. Oh Lord, I'm overwhelmed by Your grace. I'm overwhelmed that You would step into my life and forgive me, that You would give me life. I don't deserve it. And so there's prayers of thanksgiving. I can't believe that You did this certain thing in my life. And so there's prayers of thanksgiving. There's so many things to be thankful for. There are prayers for others. There's prayer for others. We intercede for all the saints, knowing how powerfully our prayers work in the lives of others. Now, if you participated in the prayer and fasting time that we had back in January, you probably found out that there are a multitude of things that you can pray for just here in our own community. I mean, a multitude of things. I can remember testimonies like, I didn't know that. I never prayed for that before. That really opened my eyes to what the needs are. And there were so many different things. If you're not sure what to pray, I encourage you to go into the upper room that we have back here. This is our prayer room back here. The walls of that room are plastered with a multitude of things to pray for. Prayers that focus on you personally. Prayers that focus on the body here at Maysville. Prayers that focus on our community. Prayers that focus on our nation and all the nations of the world. There is so much work to be done in the way of prayer. And we greatly underestimate His power. We have to remember, this is a spiritual battle. We may be quick to help someone physically, but we forget that this is not a physical battle. And people need spiritual help as well. Especially those who are held in spiritual bondage all around us. Prayer is the spiritual weapon that is used to break through the darkness and see God's mission fulfilled. Throughout history, prayer has been the spark of every revival, every awakening, and every movement of God. It is always that way. Normal people like you and I came together and faithfully prayed earnestly, and God answered and did miraculous things. If you will study, if you really get down and study the movements of God around the world throughout history, the spark of that movement was prayer. Because God's people were dependent on Him, saying, "We can't do this. There's no way we can accomplish this. We need Him. We need you to do this, Lord. We need you to step in. We need you to empower us. We need you to embolden us to be your people who are on mission for you." It's always been that way. If we want to see something happen in this community, we need to be a people of prayer. I know it sounds simple, but all of you know how hard it is to devote yourself to prayer, to be committed to praying for people. It's very difficult. Satan doesn't want that. He knows. He also says here to keep alert and pray with all perseverance. Meaning we need to know what's going on around us. Meaning we need to know what's happening so that we can strategically pray with real-time insight. That's why the prayer and fasting time was so useful. As we prayed in January, we had no idea what 2020 held for us. We had no clue. If you go back and you study and you look at what we prayed, you're going to find out that God was using that time to prepare us to fight the spiritual battle that was about to begin. Look around you. We're seeing the answers and blessings of those prayers right now. You may not know it, but you're experiencing the blessing, the answers to prayers that were prayed in January. For this body, the things. You go look at the things that we prayed for the body. Look at the body today. You look at the things that we prayed for this community. Look what's happening. God answers prayer, and it's very, very powerful. I can't imagine where we would be as a body of Christ without those prayers in January. Without us coming together and praying and fasting and being a people of prayer, even if it was for 7 days. It was powerful. It made an impact. It's still making an impact today. The perseverance he talks about here, it means to keep on praying. Don't give up. Be persistent. James 4:2, he says, "You don't have because you don't ask." You don't have because you don't ask. Jesus says in Matthew 7:8, he says, "For everyone who asks receives. And the one who seeks finds. And the one who knocks, it will be opened." Think about that. We must ask God, keep on asking, keep on seeking, keep on knocking. Jesus also says that when we ask, we must ask in faith. Trust the Lord, believe what He says. So many times, we don't trust the Lord because we don't know Him well enough. We don't trust Him because we don't know Him well enough. We haven't spent that wonderful time with Him every day, seeking Him in His Word, understanding more and more and more about Him and His ways and who He is and how He responds to us. And so we don't trust Him because we don't know Him well enough. We haven't walked in obedience long enough to see Him work through all these different circumstances in our life to see how trustworthy and faithful He is. So we don't trust Him because we don't know Him well enough. If you didn't know this, God always answers prayer. That's right. He always answers prayer. It's either yes, no, or wait. Yes! Yes, this is my will. I want to give you this, my child. I want to bless you with this right now. This is the right time. No. No, you don't understand how this is going to affect your life or others around you. You don't know what the future holds for you. This is not right for you. I cannot answer that prayer or wait. It's just not time yet. I want you to persevere through this trial. I want you to learn through this test. I want you to grow in this spiritual maturity for what's next. Just wait a little longer. God always answers prayer. Either yes, no, or wait. His way is always best for us. And He works everything out for the good of His will, which is always for our good as well. Therefore, we need to know His Word. We need to know it so that we know His will, so that we can pray His will, so that we can see God do things that only He can do. Consistent, Spirit-led prayer where He's in control and He's leading us to pray God's will. We need to be a people of prayer. The next thing we see here, the last thing here we learn, is that we must stand strong in prayer for others. Stand strong in prayer for others. Look at verse 18. We'll read through 18 and 19 again. Pray at all times in the Spirit, with all prayer and supplication. To that end, keep alert with all perseverance, making supplications for all the saints, and also for me, that words may be given to me, and opening my mouth boldly to proclaim the mystery of the gospel, for which I am an ambassador in chains, that I may declare boldly as I ought to speak. Next he says, we are to make supplications for all the saints. Even Paul asked for prayer here. Now, supplication, what's that mean? That means specific prayers, specific requests for our brothers and sisters in Christ. He's talking about specific things. This is a spiritual war going on here, and we are fighting this battle together. Every one of us who are a child of God are in the battle. We're all facing the spirituals, the same spiritual warfare. We all are in this battle together. We battle for the lives of others through prayer. Every person in this body needs you to pray specific things for them. We should be able to count on each other for prayer. There are Christians all over the world today that are suffering, that are dying for the cause of Christ. Not to count the billions of people who do not know Christ, who live in the bondage of sin and in darkness and need prayer. What kind of things should we be praying for our brothers and sisters then? What specific supplications, what specific prayers should we be praying for each other? Well, last week, if you were here in Sunday school, we looked at Colossians 1. And I just want to point out a few verses there in that passage. Colossians 1, 9 through 12. I want us to see these, just a few specific things that we can pray. And I want you to think about these because I'd like you to write them down. Because this week I'd like us to pray for each other according to these things. Verse 9 through 12 of Colossians 1 says this: And so from the day we heard, we have not ceased to pray for you, asking that you may be filled with the knowledge of His will in all spiritual wisdom and understanding, so as to walk in a manner worthy of the Lord, fully pleasing to Him, bearing fruit in every good work and increasing in the knowledge of God, being strengthened with all power according to His glorious might, for all endurance and patience with joy, giving thanks to the Father, who has qualified you to share an inheritance of the saints in light. Paul gives us this wonderful example here of how to pray for the saints. So let's look at some practical things from this passage that we should pray for each other. First, we should pray for their personal time with God. So I want you to pray for each other. I want you to pray for their personal time with God to be consistent. Pray for their personal time with God to be consistent. Pray that God would give them understanding when they study His Word. So we want some understanding as we study His Word. Pray that they would gain wisdom from God as they spend time with Him. And pray for them to submit to God and be obedient as they learn from God, as they hear His Word, as they learn from Him. We're praying. What are we praying for? We're praying for their personal communion with God. See, are these the kind of things that we normally pray for each other? And why would we pray these things? Well, look at what it says here. See, if we're praying these things, only then will they be filled with the knowledge of His will. That comes from His Word. Consistent time with God and His Word. So they're going to be filled with the knowledge of His will. Only then will they have spiritual wisdom and understanding. Only then will they be able then to walk in a manner that is worthy of the Lord and pleasing. Only then will they be able to bear fruit, right? Christ says, if you don't abide with me, you can do nothing. But those who abide with me bear much fruit, right? So praying for their time with God is going to produce these things. Only then are they going to grow and increase in knowledge of God. What are some other things? Well, we should also pray for then to daily submit to the Holy Spirit. We've already talked about that today. See, only then will they be strengthened with all power, he says, according to his glorious might, for all endurance and patience and joy. See, when the Spirit is in control, we will have endurance to press on. When the Spirit is in control and we've submitted to Him, we're going to have patience during trials. And we're going to have joy in the midst of it all. Do you see how powerful these things can be? He also says to pray, be on hope. The hope of their inheritance in heaven. So that they're not consumed by what we see in the world. Do you see how powerful these kinds of prayers can be? These are just a few specific things that we should be praying for each other. And so I want to encourage you. Actually, I want to plead with you this week to start by praying these specific things for your brothers and sisters here in the body. Maybe set a goal that you pray for 5 people in this body each day so that you can work through the whole body of Christ here at Maysville. There's a list of on the back table back there. If you need a list of all the people in this body is growing. People are visiting. People are coming. They need your prayers. And so I'm pleading with you that we would be a people of prayer, that we would take action, that we would start praying these specific things. We must keep watch, stay alert. We must never let down our guard. This is what prayer does. See, if we let down our guard, the enemy will take over. He will wound us. He will divide us. God has given us the power and energy to stay alert and stand strong in our faith. Our spiritual weapon of prayer is so powerful. We cannot underestimate the power of prayer. We must use it. Use this spiritual blessing that Christ has given you. This spiritual weapon of prayer. It is powerful. It is very powerful. The New Testament church, they gave us this great example to follow. They knew exactly how powerful it was. They met all the time in every circumstance praying and seeing the evidence of powerful prayer. Through prayer, the kingdom was advanced, and we see that all throughout the New Testament. God has given the church 2 great resources for overcoming the enemy for the spread of God's kingdom, the Word of God and prayer. And both of these reveal our dependence on God to do what only He can do. Both of them reveal our dependence on Him. It doesn't matter how hard people in this community might seem to be toward the good news of life in Jesus Christ. Yes, they might be hard. That's the spiritual restraint that holds them. That's the spiritual darkness that has brought confusion in their minds. This is spiritual warfare. Will we go to battle for our fellow brothers and sisters? Or will we let them stand alone against the enemy? Will we go to battle for those in our community who do not know Christ? Who here doesn't want your brothers and sisters praying for you? Who here wouldn't want that? Don't we believe in the power of prayer? We will go to battle. We will go to battle for those in our community who do not know Christ. We will. I believe that we are a people, we can be a people of prayer. I really believe that. I believe if we are dedicated and devoted, I've seen it through our prayer and fasting times, things happen. Amazing things happen. It's why Paul here asked the church to pray for him, to pray that he would have boldness to share the gospel as he ought to share. Paul's in prison. He's being chained to a new set of guards almost every 6 hours. And so he wanted to make use of every one of these opportunities to share the gospel with these men. Yet he was just a man. Paul was a great man, but he was still a man. And Paul, I'm sure, got tired. I'm sure he felt a little overwhelmed sometimes being in prison. Probably knew he would most likely be put to death. I'm sure that he wondering about his future. I'm sure he got tired of being rejected by these men. They probably laughed at him sometimes. I'm sure he got frustrated by their hardness of heart when Paul knew that the only answer for them was Christ, and yet they just rejected it. That's why he's asking his brothers and sisters to pray for them. Even Paul needed boldness to share the gospel as he ought to share. Have you ever felt that way? Have you ever felt that way? Oh, Lord, I need boldness to share as I ought to share. Don't we need prayer for that? Just as Paul, we are called and commanded to share the gospel, yet we are human as well. And on top of that, Satan's doing everything he can to distract us and keep us from sharing the gospel. Because he knows it brings life. He knows that's how the kingdom of God advances over this world. So here's another specific prayer for you to pray for each other. As you pray those other things, I want you to pray for boldness to share as we ought to share. Let's pray for each other. Boldness to share as we ought to share. God has given us all the power we need to stand strong against the enemy. He has given us the victory. He's given us access to boldly come to Him through prayer and see the hand of God work. He says to stay alert. He says, be ready. Pray, 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 and don't let down your guard. You are at war with the powers of darkness, and we will stand our ground, and we will march over with Christ all over this world. We will take the every tribe, people, and language. He has won the victory for us, and we will one day all stand around the throne of God, worshiping with a multitude from every nation, tribe, people, and language, a multitude that can't be counted. This is our future. This is what's going to happen, and I believe that God desires to use us in His plan to see this fulfilled. As the worship team comes, let us seek God's face now and praise His name. Let us allow Him to make us a people of prayer. I want us to stand strong in constant Spirit-led prayer. I want us to stand strong in the power of God and begin to pray for our brothers and sisters. I'm pleading. As much as I'm pleading with you, I'm pleading for God to give me the strength to do the same. To not let down my guard, to pray consistently, Spirit-led prayer, and to pray for my brothers and sisters. I want you to stand as we sing this song. I want you to just take notice of just two or three people around you. Just glance around you at two or three people. And during this song, I want us to begin today to pray for one another. The things that we just talked about. That consistent walk with God, and that understanding that God would give us, that we would be submitted to the Spirit's leading so that we can be walking a manner worthy of the Lord and fully pleasing to Him, and praying for that boldness to share the gospels we ought to share. I want you to think about those things. I want you to think about three or four people around you, and let's pray for one another. Let's make this a time of prayer as we sing this song. I want you just to focus on those people around you, and I want you to pray for each other, those things. Let's start today. Let us be, Lord, let us be a people of prayer. Let us not just say we pray for one another. Let us pray for one another. Let's do that now as we sing this song.